The views and opinions expressed by the Should They Watch It podcast are those of two moms who happen to have over 40 combined years of experience in the entertainment industry. So while they may feel their opinions come from a knowledgeable place, they are still in fact just opinions. Should They Watch It? A podcast that takes the task of reviewing your kids' favorite shows off your to-do list. Hey there, and welcome to the Should They Watch It podcast. I'm Kara Edwards.
And I'm Brina Palencia.
And welcome to the show where we're going to talk today about, boy, is this a big one.
Paw Patrol.
Yeah. Paw Patrol. 9 seasons. It just got renewed for a 10th season.
Oh, and I'm sure it'll continue. And it has like movies.
Oh, it has another movie coming out. I wrote it down somewhere. September 29th.
Oh, wow.
We have another big Paw Patrol movie coming out.
How exciting. That's my brother's birthday. I'll be sure to tell him.
Oh, man. Now you guys know what you can go do together. Woo. I'm sure he'd be way into it. Paw Patrol, where can you find it? Noggin, Paramount Plus, Amazon.
Amazon Prime is where we watched it as well. It's a Nickelodeon show.
It is. But I guess, like, did Nickelodeon just kind of go away and become...
I don't know how real TV...
Because there's Nick Jr.
Yeah. I don't know how real TV works anymore.
Me neither.
I think it's still that the whole channel is Nickelodeon, and then Nick Jr. is at like certain times that like preschoolers are usually watching.
Okay, that makes sense.
At least that's how it was when I was a kid, which was a very long time ago.
Right.
But I continued watching cartoons well into my 20s. So that's how it was in my 20s.
Okay.
And I'm 85 now. So.
Right. I mean, so yeah. It's been a minute. Right. So episodes, 20 to 23 minutes long. It's what they do with so many shows where it's actually like little mini episodes that are like 11, 12 minutes long. And they stick two of them together and call it an episode.
Very simple.
So I guess we should start with the questions. So Brina, should they watch it?
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm right there with you. It's not like I'm going to throw down the microphone and scream, this is the greatest thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah. It's fine.
And also, it's been around so long that Michael watched this when he was Arthur's age, when he was younger. And then he has, I asked him if he wanted to watch this one with me, to which he definitely said no.
I'm not a baby.
You're not a baby anymore, man. I have a feeling everybody listening knows exactly what Paw Patrol is about, but I was looking online and I came across a review on IMDb that is a premise for this show.
I love IMDb reviews on kid shows.
I live for a good IMDb review.
So good. Just...
Like, some of the greatest writers of our time are parents who are just writing their thoughts on IMDb.
The level of thought put into, I mean, they should have their own podcast.
No.
The IMDb reviewers. Like, I mean.
And they literally could just have people call in and like read their reviews.
I mean.
I would listen to that.
I've gone through, that's one of my, actually, I do that often whenever I'm watching shows with Arthur. I just immediately pop up IMDb because I want to see who the voice actors are, and I'm like, do I know any of them? And then I go through the reviews, and it's so entertaining.
So this is one I'm just going to read this review in lieu of a premise.
Beautiful.
Because
I love it.
It's literally titled Orphan Kid Fights Crime with Its Mutant Slave Dogs. All right, here I go. See if I get through this. I have been watching this with my daughter for a while, and after 3 or 4 seasons, this is what I've sorted out of what's going on. There is this insane rich orphan kid called Ryder that uses his family money to buy or make this huge modified vehicle stuff, like super trucks and crazy planes. This in order to save his city from the evil schemes of the Monopoly top hat old guy and a bunch of innocent cats. In order to fight crime, this kid uses some mutant dogs that probably were victims of Ryder paranormal experiments that can drive cars and planes with their minds. People in the city are completely brainless and are always doing stupid things, ending up in a complete mess that can be sorted out only by Paw Patrol. I will give this 5 stars and check some more seasons in order to try to discover who were writer missing. Oh, who were writer's missing parents and how did they get so loaded with money?
I mean, that's true. He would have to be so
loaded. He's so basically like,
this is the new version of Batman.
This is literally Jeff Bezos' kid. This is, Michael and I were reading a book called Unplugged. If you have kids that are in that like 7 to 11-year-old range, this book is so much fun. And it literally follows a kid that is the kid of a Jeff Bezos character and is basically writer in Paw Patrol.
Now does he have the mutant dogs? Together.
He does. He could.
I love the idea of the dogs being mutants because, I mean, they are the only animals that can talk in it. Like, other animals don't talk.
Yeah, they can communicate and actually show, like, what they're feeling. Anyway, so Musgo Vegetariano, that's their name for the IM.
Oh,
so Musgo Vegetariano, thank you.
Stunning review.
For that amazing review. And the premise, so yeah, basically you got a boy named Ryder. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah,
he's got these dogs.
Well, they don't discuss the money though in the show.
No, but like clearly
he has many resources to create this humongous tower filled with all of these very purchasable vehicles that these dogs.
Speaking of purchasable, one of the most merchandised shows that we've reviewed, there you can buy your own Paw Patrol anything. Anywhere you go.
It's everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Everywhere. It's like, I would say, I mean, that's definitely one of the, I mean, I guess it's a drawback and it's a positive, I guess, because if you are trying to get your kid interested in literally anything, there will be a Paw Patrol version of it. So there is that to consider. That's kind of good, I guess.
Parenting tip. If you can get your child addicted to a highly merchandised television program, you can make them do anything.
Yes. Turns out we're a capitalist podcast. Yeah. So... yeah, it's definitely, if you're going to take your kid to any store of any kind, there will be something Paw Patrol related and they're going to
no
ask for it.
No question. Okay, so what do you love about Paw Patrol? I figure we'll start with the good.
It's consistent.
Yes. Oh, gosh, is it ever? Yeah, if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
The same concept over and over again. And they'll do things like add pirates, and this time we're going to be in the ocean and whatever. But it's the same thing over and over again. So that's nice in the sense that I would say for my family, the most positive thing about Paw Patrol is that it is something that helps calm my son down.
Okay.
You know, if he's having it, like coming down from a meltdown or something like that, it is something that is very calming and soothing because there's like not much happening.
Yeah.
And it's very predictable and like he.
But enough action to keep
your
attention.
Engaged.
So I'm thinking of shows like we had reviewed Puff and Rock was one of the first things that we had reviewed a long time ago. And that show is a very, very calm show as well, but almost for me too calm.
Right.
So then you're going to get distracted. Like I literally couldn't watch that one. Whereas Paw Patrol, it's going to keep my attention
enough
to watch.
You can kind of sit and watch and be like, okay, who's messing up today?
Yeah. What's going on? There's a lot of good lessons in it. Kids are going to learn about community and different jobs that center around public health and safety because the dogs are basically actually I have like a trivia section we'll get to later, but it might be good to jump into now. So all of the major characters' names actually apply to their jobs. Ryder is the only one that rides his vehicle on every mission. Marshall, the fire dog, is named after a fire marshal. Rubble is a construction pup. Chase, the police dog's name, refers to a police chase. Rocky, the recycling pup, has a name that starts with R because of the 3 R's, reuse, reduce, recycle. Mm-hmm. This goes on and on. But basically, yeah, these are all like community.
Very community-based. And that is something I like.
Yes,
it does
no
encourage
question.
You to be a good and involved citizen. Like, you know, it's like pay attention to the things that are happening in your community.
Yes.
Like, and you know, Rocky's recyclables. Like, I have like a Paw Patrol book that Arthur likes.
Okay.
And like, they do talk about their jobs and like how important recycling is and like point to the things that are recyclable and that kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there are like little things like that that are kind of like, okay, that's nice.
That's very nice. And, yeah. And you can like use this, I think, as a parent, you can use this to talk about like your kids' individual talents and then be like, how do your talents affect your community and what can you do to help your community? I mean, contribute? If you really want to spend a lot of time with it, that's something you could
really want to live in a Paw Patrol world, and then you can get all of the corresponding educational elements that you can find on Amazon that are Paw Patrol licensed.
Because we are living in a Paw Patrol world. Teamwork.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Yeah.
Being helpful.
Yeah. Helpful is super romanticized in this.
Ooh,
it's like
yeah.
help. Being helpful is the greatest thing you could ever possibly do, which is a good thing.
Which
to
is
teach
a,
kids.
A wonderful thing. Problem yeah. solving, working together.
Yeah. I would argue that problem solving is not really a thing that's legitimately taught in it. Like, it's encouraged to figure out problem solving, but it doesn't like actually teach you how to problem solve. Like, everything is like, there's the bad guy with the top hat, and then the dogs come and save the day because they want to be helpful. Like, there's not like a lot of thought put into it.
That's true. It's not a lot of, I mean, or if it is, it's really fast. Like, we're yes. going, we need to use this piece of metal to cover the hole in the boat so the boat doesn't sink.
Yes.
And look, I'm going to pull out my magic tools and only screw in one end, and yet it's still going to patch up the hole, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, time, 11 minutes that goes by fast.
Yeah, true.
There's no violence.
Yeah, and there's zero violence. But there's also no, there's no conflict resolution within the group. Like, I like it whenever the friends and shows will fight and they'll show like,
this is
how we can like resolve this. Like, just because you get in a fight with your friend doesn't mean that your relationship is immediately
right.
over.
Interpersonal relationships
yeah.
and how to, I love shows. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, that was something we just reviewed, Super Kitties, and that was something
yes.
that I liked a lot about Super Kitties, because it was like, oh, I feel this way, and they had to explore, listen to each other and explore each other's feelings. And no,
yeah.
this is
very not
that. Cut and dry.
Each dog basically has the exact same personality, but with a different voice and a different cute outfit. Like, they don't really, they never really butt heads.
They literally like, never yeah. argue.
No.
And there's no competing.
No, not at all.
Which is not necessarily.
It's nice for young shows, like young kid
yeah.
shows, to like show that and show how to like deal with those
how
emotions.
How to deal with it. Because that's yeah. a very real thing that young kids are going through, is that everything is a conflict. Like
yeah.
everything is an argument, and I don't want to share, but I want you to play with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like those, and boy, there's none of that. There's
not
no competition, and that is not realistic at all. Which now we're kind of getting into what
to
like,
the problematic,
into the
stuff,
problematic
yeah.
stuff. Okay, so top of my list, there's only one girl.
Yes.
Sky.
Yep.
And she's so stinking girly. Her eyes are pink. Like, she is
mm-hmm.
so pinky, girly, girly. I want to curl my hair and read magazines about other girl dogs. And, like, I guess the feminist in me was a little fired up watching
yeah.
it, because I was like, come on, give me a little stronger girl. I think they started covering that. I didn't see the movie, but I think in the first movie they started introducing more female characters, because
yeah, they did have a female character
mentioning the
mm-hmm.
like.
We tried to watch the movie. Arthur did not like it because
oh.
it's not the same animation.
Interesting.
They changed it to 3D animation, and then he was just kind of like, can we watch the real Paw Patrol?
Interesting.
Like, yeah, but it's funny because it made me flash back to my own childhood, and I remember hating that too. Like, when there was like a reboot of a show or something,
yeah,
or
and
something
it looked
new,
different.
And it looked different. I was just like, that's not what I,
yeah,
I don't like that.
That's not what feels good. It's
I
not
like,
what's
I
familiar.
Like the art. Artists are important. I guess I knew that even as a child.
You did. You were way ahead of your time.
Yes.
Combat AI. So writer's communication device is also a game system. So anyone who is working really, this is where I clutch my pearls. This is where I'm going to go out on a super limb. But yeah, if anyone is hypersensitive to like encouraging screen use and game use, he's the kid that's like, I'm out here to save everybody and play a game. But that's
yeah,
rare.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Happen
yeah.
often.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's something I wrote down because I'm a nerd.
Here's my nerdy complaint.
Okay, bring it.
As I've mentioned before, I am a big fan of cats. I love cats.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole show is like anti-cat propaganda.
It really is.
There's one cat who's like, okay, but they're not special or like a superhero or anything. But the enemy is the top hat guy with his cats, with the evil cats. And it's like the dogs are the great, perfect, angelic creatures. And then the cats are evil.
Yeah. And always tattling on the dogs and always messing with the dogs.
Yeah.
And
they're always the ones causing a ruckus. And you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of this dogaganda taking over, rotting children's minds. I'm just kidding. Honestly, it's so silly to me. I see it all the time in cartoons. I can tell, I don't know a ton about Walt Disney, but I can tell he hated cats. That is obvious in every way that cats are depicted in every Disney movie. And like, it's so silly to me. Like, can we move beyond that? Like, cats are different than dogs. But also, cats are really lovely if you're a cat person.
If you're a cat person.
Yeah. And like, it's fine. Cats are not evil. You just don't know how to deal with them.
Cats are evil. But like, I'm sitting here and I'm hearing you. I'm listening to you, Brina. I'm absorbing it. I also, as we sit here recording, have a very angry cat.
That's true.
Living in my bathroom. But because he got into a cat fight and got bitten and the other cat's tooth broke off inside of his leg.
Listen, I'm not saying cats are perfect, but you know what? Neither are dogs.
I mean, I've never had a dog tooth inside of my dog, but I definitely had a cat tooth inside of my cat that cost a fortune to have removed.
It's because their teeth are so tiny.
And he is on four different tranquilizers to get him to stay in the bathroom and not hurt himself. Because he's insane. So, like, I definitely hear you.
I'm just saying.
But I now see why you loved Super Kitties so much.
That's true.
I didn't even realize we went from Super Kitties to Paw Patrol, which is really funny.
Back to back,
I don't know what animal we have to do next, but we have to figure that out.
There's some other animal one, I'm sure. But yeah, I just want everybody to give cats a chance. They don't always have to be the villain.
It's true.
They don't always have
They don't always have to be the villain.
Come on.
Just like most of the time.
All right.
Okay, anything else problematic? Super duper sensitive kids might be fearful of some of the like predicaments and things. You always have to think, know your kid. We say this all the time.
Yes.
Like, you got to know your kid and what they're going to be.
Yeah, because I mean, there are definitely like, it's action. Like, I mean, they do get like, you know.
Yeah,
there are people in danger.
And
there
we've
are
got to rescue
in danger.
Them.
Yeah.
And it's so light. Like, I'm talking kids that are hypersensitive to it. And,
which is
totally fine. Just know that could be a thing. It got a 6 out of 10 stars on IMDb. I don't know why. I thought it would have gotten more.
I wonder if there's any children's show that has gotten more than like 6 stars other than like a Pixar movie or something, because it's always adults that are reviewing it. So I feel like adults go on to IMDb
and find all the things that are wrong.
Yeah, they're like angry about
it. We have an entire podcast to do that.
Yes.
So. I definitely can understand it. Okay, what interesting facts. Marshall and Chase are the only pups with sirens on their vehicles.
Oh, that makes sense.
Interesting. I figured out what dogs they are. Marshall's a Dalmatian. Rubble's an English bulldog. Chase is a German shepherd. Rocky's a mixed breed dog. Zuma is a chocolate Labrador retriever. And Skye and Coral are both cockapoos. There's a whole bunch of other dogs, but
those are
the main ones. It's they kind of more dogs and animals come in as the show goes on.
That's true, because and it still follows the same formula.
Yeah,
with each dog that comes in.
And as I was looking up interesting facts, which I try to do anytime we do a show, I did find the fascinating fact that that even though this is a show about dogs, at no point do they mark their territory.
Ooh, good point.
I mean,
again, it goes back. There's no conflict. There's zero conflict with the dogs.
Like, no competition.
Yeah.
No need to mark territory.
Yeah. Like, the only thing that I can think of, like, personality-wise that is every single time is that Marshall always falls.
Yeah.
Like, whenever the writer calls them and they're like, writer needs us! Like, Marshall always falls somehow, and it's always a funny, cute thing. But, like, that's the only, like, differentiating personality that I've been able to decipher.
Yeah, otherwise you're right. They're literally the same dog.
Yeah.
Except for the female, who's, like, the most female to ever female.
Yeah, but even still, but she's, then, still, like, she's, yeah, still just the rescue, female version of...
of the exact same dog,
yeah,
helping other people,
yes,
with no conflict whatsoever.
Yeah.
Age range that would want to watch this?
Preschool, for sure,
totally.
Yeah.
3 to 7.
I've heard of kind of older kids, like 6, 7, watching them. When looking at other reviews, I saw quite a few, like, teenagers saying that they like to watch it just to, like, relax.
Yeah, okay.
Which, honestly, I could totally see.
Okay.
Again, very consistent, very easy watch. Like, I could totally see that.
I could totally see that. It's, yeah, TVY.
And it's cute.
It's cute. It's,
yeah,
fine. I mean, are parents going to like it?
No.
No.
No, they're not.
I did not. It was hard watch for me.
Yeah.
And I remember when Michael was watching it, so I was already hyper familiar with it. But I sat down to refresh and got through a few episodes and was like, no can do. But it's not aimed at me, so that's okay.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. I think my favorite my favorite critique of it was that it was capitalist, like, actually capitalist propaganda.
Yes.
Which,
yes,
I think you came across that as well.
I totally did. You said that you, I forget where you found it.
I found a Forbes article that was kind of like diving into, I think, the article that you found.
Uh-huh. From The Guardian.
Yes. About it being, because, this is so funny to me. So because Ryder and his pups, because the Paw Patrol is a private owned entity, it is encouraging children to not trust the state and to believe that private companies should be running state-funded,
right,
things.
Yes. Like, the stretches. The stretches, like, are epic.
First of all, as an adult who is hyper aware of, like, capitalism and all that kind of stuff, I didn't even consider the fact that Paw Patrol was privately owned.
Right.
Like, it didn't even cross my mind. And I feel really confident that my 4-year-old
did not
is not thinking,
that,
you know what? I just don't think I should have to pay taxes. Because the Paw Patrol made it very clear to me that these privately funded organizations just do better at saving cats out of trees.
I'm disappointed in him that he wouldn't put that all together.
I know. I actually wanted to ask you if you thought maybe Michael would put
it together. I could actually say, honestly, Michael is obsessed with taxes.
Yes.
He wants to know what's being taxed, where the money's going, what is happening. Like, and he asks me constantly, like, you just did that job. Did you get taxed? Yes, the government is going to take a percentage of that.
Yes.
Okay, and what are they going to be doing with it? Did your gas just get taxed? What about that meal we just had?
He amazing.
Hounds me constantly. So I did copy-paste a paragraph from The Guardian, which I believe is along the same lines. I haven't read it in a minute because I did this several days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll read a little. So, Paw Patrol's chief singularity is the way young people are called upon to rectify the mistakes or crimes of adults. Ryder, Charlie to the Pooch's Angels is a 10-year-old vigilante. And in the new film, he's mostly talking about the new film.
He's just like Batman. He's a vigilante.
He's a vigilante.
Yeah.
And in the new film, has become a magnet at the head of a lucrative empire. The animals themselves, the movie reminds us, are constantly not dogs, but puppies, never aging, like Bart Simpson. This is important because it aligns with a sensibility in which youth, unclouded by ambition or other adult considerations, is able to save the day over and over. Perhaps this is pleasing or recognizable to children brought up by late millennials having to become adults in a world where traditional markers of aging, such as house ownership, are shifting. I know this is the article that did go on to discuss how this is like
my God.
Gonna ruin our children's future.
That is so incredible. That's incredible.
Charlie to the Pooch's Angels. I should have written down the author of the article, but it did come from The Guardian if you want to look it up and and read something really wild today.
I love that so much. It reminds me, I think I sent you the thread. There's a thread that I found on Instagram that had like it had excerpts from like the New York Times and like all these other art, like newspapers from way back in the day.
Yes, like you sent it to me and then I didn't read it. I'll go back.
And it's, I have to read one of them because it reminds me so much of what that just said. And it's like, I think it was like 1920 or something. Hold on, let me go into my scent. So this thread came from Curious Parenting on Instagram. And it's so many little snippets, but this one reminds me especially of it. So the Chicago Tribune in 1901 said, "The use of marbles in play is a dangerous pastime that promotes gambling and fosters a disregard for property rights." When I read that, I was laughing for days. Like,
what?
A disregard for property rights. Marbles.
Marbles. Oh my God. Don't even get into pickup sticks.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. Marbles. Like, okay. So basically, you can take anything.
Yeah.
And turn it into a thing.
Yeah, and decide that it's destroying. Like, this whole thread is incredible. Like, go to Curious Parenting. Yeah, like another really good one. The game of red light, green light is a wasteful and inefficient use of children's time and energy. The Boston Transcript, 1902.
Oh. Oh my goodness. This is really funny.
Yeah, they go into the, okay, New York Times, 1896. The bicycle is a pernicious craze that has ruined the morals of many young people. Which now we know is like such an important milestone for children, like physically,
deal.
Like
yes.
They need to be able to do that.
To like, pedal and that's like their coordinate. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yes, dude. It's
so
insane.
What I'm understanding that you're saying right now is that in like another 100 years, we're going to look back and laugh at Paw Patrol being.
And the Guardian article
the Guardian
of Paw Patrol.
We're already laughing.
Yes. Yes. Because at the end of the day, it's about how you parent the kid around the show. You know what
Completely.
I mean?
Completely.
Like, that's all it is. Like, it doesn't, like, so my kid watches, he's obsessed with Halloween animatronics.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So he watches horrifying things that a lot of kids would be really traumatized by, but he doesn't have nightmares, he doesn't whatever, he's really interested in the mechanics of it.
Yeah,
like he likes to watch the videos where they take off the costume and he can see
how they did it.
Yeah, how they did it. Like, he's really obsessed with it. But it's so funny because I think other people would be like, oh my God, and people have reacted like, oh my God, you let him watch that? Oh my God, like they're like horrified.
But you know your kid.
Yes, and I sit and watch it with him and we discuss what it is, how it's made, that it's not real, and he loves it.
That's what, so I did the same thing, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, is Michael wanted to watch The Walking Dead.
Ooh.
And this was several years ago. You're in The Walking
Dead.
I am
in The Walking
Dead.
So
you know all about this. But he was, and I was like, okay, I will let you if we sit down and watch YouTube videos about how the zombies are created, how they filmed the show, how I wanted him to understand that these were actors, that there was a film set. I wanted him to see the cameras. We actually watched a lot of videos about how movies are made.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And I turned it in. So then I let him watch an episode, and the whole time he was like, so do you think that's like chocolate cake or is that syrup coming off of them? Like, he would try to figure out which food item was being used.
I
confused.
Definitely see this being in my future because Arthur is obsessed with zombies right now. And he loves to watch zombie makeup tutorials.
Okay.
And there's this guy who does like these incredible sculptures, and there'll be like a 10-minute long video. We need to just like do a review of YouTube at some point.
A review of YouTube. Yeah,
but there's a guy who does like these 10-minute videos of these gorgeous, intricate sculptures using so many different like elements and whatever. And there's one where he makes a zombie Captain America. And he will just sit there mesmerized for like 10 minutes watching it. And I am too, because it's incredible.
It's like fascinating. What he's doing.
Yeah, but he loves seeing like how zombies are created, like with makeup, with sculptures.
Yeah, so
and,
it's
like,
not scary to him.
Yeah, because he's interested in the fake aspect of it. Like he loves costumes. He loves, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so the next thing, and I don't know, you might need another year, but the next thing you need to get into with Arthur is The Last Kids on Earth.
The Last Kids on
it's
Earth.
It's a book series, and it's a television series. Okay. And we read the entire books, and we're caught up on the television series. But that one is super fun, zombies, post-apocalypse, and these fun kids.
I think someone
that
else recommended it.
It's really enjoyable. And again, he might need like another year. But
yeah, I think I maybe showed him a clip of the cartoon.
Yeah.
This is a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
I think I showed him a clip of the cartoon and he was like kind of into it. But I think it was a little bit too old for him. Like he wasn't interested in the story yet.
Okay.
Because he's not as interested in the story of zombies as he is in
just
how
they're
doing
it. Yeah. He still has a couple of years before, which I was thinking about, and I actually mentioned it right before we started recording, and I don't think we have time to do it today, but I do want to do this on a future podcast, is we always do should they watch it? I want to throw in should they read it? Because Michael and I just crossed over into reading classic books.
Oh my gosh.
Because we're reading chapter books.
Yes.
And we have recently read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Where the Red Fern Grows.
Oh, wow.
And I have so many thoughts that I feel like I need to like... Bleh!
I love that idea.
Because one of those super holds up and one of those doesn't.
Ooh.
And I'm going to leave that as a tease. And maybe we can discuss it in our next podcast.
I would love to hear that.
So that I can give you time to also bring something.
Yeah, well, and also for me, it's a good like prepping for when Arthur gets there.
What do we, because boy did I, one of those did not hold up. And he can read, so he reads along with me. And I was changing words as quickly as I could read, and he was catching it and being like, that's not what it says. And I'm like,
I think about that a lot because I also do that sometimes when I'm reading stuff to him and I'm like, I don't like how that's worded. I'm going to do that differently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at some point, I'm not going to be able to do this.
At some point, he catches you. And boy, when they do, you're like, well, why is that? I have finally learned the art of just saying, that's a topic I'm not comfortable discussing with you yet. Ask me again in the future.
Okay.
And he'll be like, but why? I'm smart. I can handle it. And I'm like, you're super smart. And this is on me and this isn't on you. It's not that you can't handle it. It's that I don't know how to put it into words yet.
Ooh, that's good.
So give me time. Give me a little time and get a little older.
Yeah.
And then we'll discuss what that's all about.
I like that.
Okay, so Paw Patrol. Hey, sure, whatever. It's not going to hurt your kids.
It's not going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt them, but it's, you know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Okay, so I believe our next podcast, we're actually going to do one of my favorite things is to dive into movies from our past.
Yes.
That you will want to show your children because you remember them so fondly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found that so often these movies do
not be shown to your kiddos.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find that actually rush to the television and watch it now, aka Land Before Time.
That one holds up?
Oh, it holds up. Brina, it holds up on such a giant, beautiful level that everybody needs to take their young children and watch it tonight.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good.
That's one I've been meaning to show Arthur.
Oh, and Never Ending Story. Add that to the list too. completely holds up. If you guys want to go back and listen to past podcasts, we have reviews of both of those on there. Yes, I've already spoiled it.
Which I was not
it.
On those reviews.
Yes, Brina wasn't
new host,
here yet.
If you're
Brina
new to listening.
Yeah, if you're new to listening. Yes, we had a different host. Now Brina's with us. So yeah, those two, absolutely huge. But we're going to actually dive into the land of Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything.
We're not going to, yeah. Brina's actually already watched it and is ready to go. I have not yet, so before our next podcast, I'm going to watch it, and I have a feeling we'll come with a lot of things, and we'll throw in should they read it. And while we're here, make sure to follow us on Instagram. We post fun facts about the shows that we review. You can follow us on Twitter as well. We're at should they watch it on Instagram and should they watch at Twitter because they have a character. limit. We're also on Facebook, and you can always reach out to us at podcast@shouldtheywatchit.com if there's a show that you would love to hear us review and hear our thoughts, or if you want to tell us that we're wrong about anything, we can handle it.
Yeah, if you just want to scream into the void.
We can handle that.
Yeah.
All right. Always a pleasure, Brina.
Yes.
And we will see you guys in exactly 2 weeks with some Beetlejuice.
Yep.